What was the baby gonna be called if it was a girl?
I have no clue.
Otissa? Otis and Otissa.
They knew early on it was a boy, so then, I'm thinking.
How's Annie? Is she?
She's great, yeah. I just can't get over how big he is.
We are still studying in Luke 9:48, but we started on James 1:21 because of a particular word that's used. So back to James. We're studying the word receive and what that means. And so in 1:21 it says, whereby lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, which means excesses of...
They're having fun with that.
Huh?
They were having fun with that, those translators.
Yeah.
It
means an excessive trespassing or worldly stuff. That's all it means. And receive. And so again, we have this word receive, dekomai. Then receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, there's an incredible amount of information in that one scripture, one verse. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, remember, we started on it yesterday. Engrafted is from the word, it's emphytos, and it's from the word which means to be born. And it's receive that which is born in you with meekness, with emptiness. And so that emptiness is the only way you can receive that new birth. Without the emptiness, there is... Because the basic nature of man is self-realization. Man does not want anything to do with that which doesn't enhance his self-realization. It's the only answer. So now, this is talking about being born again. Now, that's the most screwed up translation in the Bible. Let's go to it. It's first used in John 3. Let's go there. The famous meeting with Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was in the Sanhedrin. He was a big daddy. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus does one of these off-the-wall things again. He pays no attention to what Nicodemus had said, because he knew what he was after. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't even perceive it, is what that means. Because he will create a kingdom of God after his own imagination. And that kingdom of God will retain self and enhance self-realization. And that philosophy, that approach, is the worst apostasy in the world because it sanctifies the curse. You got it? So born again is genao anothen. And it means to be born from above, but a better translation is to exist from the first estate, from the very beginning of the beginnings. It doesn't mean you change your mind about stuff. It doesn't mean you have a new way of looking at the world. It means something totally outside of time has invaded you. And this thing, this holy thing, which is from outside of time, has absolutely no interest in this world. And until he becomes your only self, you will always walk in confusion and double-mindedness. Now, this is the predicate of everything. You can't be revealed without your death. It has nothing to do with you. You're gone. It's not an option. Oh, I'm trying to die to self. That's contradiction in terms. It's the reckoning that you were dead and you have been dead, that the human race is dead, that if one died for all, then all are dead. Now this doesn't retain, you don't retain this in your mind because you keep acting like a Gentile as you go out into the world. That's called rebellion. It's called no faith. What?
It's part of what this self nature is so opposed to is faith, because there's no security there. You don't know what's going to happen. You're on ground and you don't understand. You're going without knowing. And it's against the nature of man.
You remember?
I just want to say something about the born again, and we're talking receive. It's like born again happens at when you can actually perceive or receive that information that you've existed from the beginning.
No, it happens when your repentance is total.
And then you can see that, right?
But it can't happen without the repentance. The repentance is the key to everything.
Yeah. Well, yes, repentance.
And the repentance, the basis of repentance, is you are dead.
Okay. But then at that moment, what you said about existing from the first estate, I mean, that's not just a sentence. That's a fact of your...
Let's look. We're going to come back to Timothy, but let's. I mean, to John 3. But let's go to. First John chapter 2. Verse 12. I write unto you, little children. That's technon, darling infant. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. You're still in the world. You're still hiding under the blood. But it has nothing to do with advancement in terms of growing. It has to do with repenting. The anointing you've received, there's nothing anybody can teach you. So, the first, the anointing you, I mean, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, watch. This doesn't, it's just like the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent are not analog. It's not a steady increase up to the New Jerusalem. The Psalms of Ascent are like up and down, up and down, up and down, right? And so is this. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Then the next sentence is, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Then I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And then I write unto you, little children, the word there for his teenagers, because you've known the Father. Now, the teenager position, everybody hates it. Because the only thing, Bible study doesn't do any good. Exhortation doesn't do any good. Reading the scriptures doesn't do any good. The only anchor that you have is at some point you have known the Father, whether you knew it or not. And that becomes your only anchor. Then I'm 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. Now, but right, if you translate that right, what it says is, I write unto you, fathers, because you have been with him from the beginning. Now, you have been with him from the beginning because he that is your life is of the first estate, the beginning of beginnings. So all these things, again, it's the grace of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it seems to be analog. Sometimes it's nothing but a fight. But it's the same place. This is another way of saying the three graces that God has given to see God. Now, I have written unto you, fathers, because you've known him or been with him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are, then that's the adults, but not yet reproducing. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you will overcome the wicked one. You don't yet know you're from the beginning, so the word, you may know it philosophically, but it's only the father position that can reproduce. Spiritually.
Yeah, it's implicated in what a father is.
Amen. So. So how have you reproduced any spiritual children? Unless you're in the father position, you can't. You can reproduce people that accept Jesus as their personal Savior, but that's just an instrument for the fruit of the fall. They're using God to enhance their self-realization. This is critical. All right, go back to James 1. I mean John 3, I'm sorry. Whatever we were at, John 3. Big John.
Oh.
Does anybody have any thoughts or responses to what I just said? It's kind of big.
Yeah. I've had several, but I didn't speak up, so I didn't.
All right. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's so simple. Remember what confession means. It's homologio. To confess, this has nothing to do with what we have seen or now can go and confess your sins and all that. To confess the Lord Jesus means that you have seen the same thing, you've heard the same thing, and therefore you speak the same thing. So you can only confess the Lord Jesus when you're looking from the top down.
I'm talking about this point of seeing that you have existed from the first estate. And there's something about confession there, that seeing yourself the same way God does and being in agreement.
Well, you have to lose yourself. That's what. But anyway, let's go to next. Let's go to John 1, since we're in John. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, efficacy, to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Not only among us, he dwelt in us. So that you can never be the one that makes the decision for Christ. Because it says, not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh. All right. Let's go to Galatians 6. Verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And the new creation means a creature that didn't exist before, not you becoming new. Amen? Yeah. What's going on, Mr. Bojo? Understand?
Yeah.
Agree?
Yeah.
All right.
When I was a kid, the notion of being born again was
because it was, you know, I don't have a Pentecostal background, you know, and these, you know, the tents down by the river and the holy rollers and all that stuff, you know, being born again, which was a joke.
They were weird.
Yeah, they were crazy. Well, you know, first of all, in a general sense, it's really wrong to think that way. But in a bigger sense, I understand. I understand it. And the problem is that whenever I hear born again, I flinch because of that. But it's the concept that's important. There has to be, and it has to be wiped away and started over.
Amen.
I remember that time we were first studying this kind of stuff, and we sent out those little Christmas cards that had Christ being, about Christ born in you, which was like a concept that nobody sends Christmas cards about, you know. And we sent out those cards from whatever we were at that time, a little silver group, you know.
Yeah.
I've still got one of them up there somewhere.
Yeah, I do too.
And it's like, that's pretty wild. To be born again is him being born in you, and you're not really in the picture.
You're gone. That's why I fought against this so much. I didn't want to be gone. But I couldn't deny that experience I had. I could if I could prove it was wrong by the Bible. All right, let's go to Titus chapter 3. Right after Timothy's. Remember? It's,
yeah.
All right.
Timothy's.
Let's start in verse 11 of chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath been revealed to all men. That's what it appeared means there. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious revelation of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the word regeneration is palingenesis. That means that you're born again. But none of this makes any difference unless you have been born again. Born from above. Born from the first estate. It doesn't mean anything. It becomes a history book. Or a book of morality, or a book of religion. It's not. It's a book that describes two different environments, one time and space, one eternity. and they have nothing to do with each other. And the moment you mix them, it's the evidence that you have not been born again, or you've fallen from the strong city.
What if somebody wants to be born again? Can you want it? God do it because you cry out? Want it bad? Or?
Again, the basis of everything is repentance. That's all that man can do. And then everything else is God's business. When you can truly and honestly, with integrity, understand and say and speak that everything you are doing and everything you have done is empty and futile and without purpose. It's a puff of smoke. And everything you can conceive of to do is empty and nothing. It's a puff of smoke. Then you can join with Job. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and repent in sackcloth and ashes. Then it's God's business. This crap about walking the aisle, nobody's ever made an altar call in the scriptures. No one ever asked, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? No one ever said, have you made a decision for Christ? No one ever tried to talk somebody into being a believer. None of that's our business. What do you do then? You live the people may ask you, what is the reason for your hope? What is the reason you're not in, don't have the same value systems everybody else in the world does? When you speak, you're a threat to every form of thought on the face of the earth. But if you try to live in two worlds, one foot in eternity and one foot in time and space, you're just nothing. Does that answer your question? We're out of time again. We'll spend some more time on this. Anybody have any other response?
I was just thinking about is that Spurgeon, the big up, the famous preacher in 1800s England, never did that. Gave an altar call. He just told everybody to go back home and meditate on all this stuff. In other words, the idea of getting somebody to come down the aisle right now and do something, he was like,
Moody.
Be careful, It's like, you need to think about all this because you're going to be letting go of your life. And that's historically this. It's been until recently.
Remember the three rebuffs that were taken, and they were taken from the book of Ruth. And then they were modified in the Didache. And the three rebuffs were, somebody comes to you and wants to be a part of the community. The answer was, you fool. Don't you know you will lose everything you once held dear? Here's some of the scriptures to prove that. Go away and think about it. Come back the second time. Still want to be a part of it. He just says, you fool. Don't you know you'll be hated of all men and they'll call you demon-possessed? Here's some scriptures. Go away and think about it. 3rd time, comes back. I still want to be a part of it. He said, you fool. Don't you know they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service? And if he said, yes, I know, then he was embraced and received into the community. Does anybody believe that? Would you have become a believer had somebody told you that? Until that mystical day, I would have thought, you fool, I'm not doing that. Because I had all the opinions and a thousand more of Christians. When I was in the service, I did a lot of bad things, but one of them was I was a good hypnotist. And there was this one pain in the butt Christian that was in our group, and he didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he didn't, you know, he's just, and I hypnotized him, and he wanted to be hypnotized, he just wanted to experience that, so I did, but I gave him a subconscious, a post-hypnotic suggestion, that when he drank water, it would be as if he were drinking whiskey, and he'd drink a glass of water, and he'd get drunk, skunk, and I persecuted that poor guy. Anyhow, take it, big guy.